Since it is the 4th of July week, we're going to do some patriotic songs for you this morning. And please sing along, because I know you know these words.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for of rain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on
of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, his truth is marching on. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God
birthday, America. Yes.
If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife, I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and you can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, New York to L.A. There is pride in every American's heart, and it's time to stand and say, American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
seats over here. Any back in there? Got three or four over here. Dick, if you anybody comes in, put them over here. Walk them by that briefcase first. This ain't free. The beach is free. Hey, thank you for being here. We talked to folks from all over. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Greensboro, High Point. Got all kind of people here today. Who's here for the first time? Anybody here hadn't been here before? All right, thank you. Look here. All right. Over here. Couple over here. Well, good. Well, thank you. Hope it's not your last. And tell people about us if you like us. If you don't, keep your mouth shut. Now, Bob, you told them about the helping hand and the four boxes of food. Boy, that really helps. That church down the street can get a big old box of food. Last, what, a family? You didn't tell them this part? I'll tell them that. To help Bob's announcement. Helping hand, somebody, the donations bought four boxes of food, two boxes of meat for the month of July for the children's shelter. Now, what that is a church out here, and if any of you are having a hard time, and please don't look at me like some of you aren't, been there, done that. They have a big box of food, frozen meat, hamburgers, steaks, pork chops, everything you'd want, for $25. And it'll feed a family of what? Normal family of two, feed me and you for 2 weeks, right? And But it's a wonderful thing. Church in Georgia started it to help people who are having a little bit of a difficult time. And it's the International Church across from the high school out here, North Myrtle Beach. Isn't that it? Right in there. And they're on the right-hand side. And go and see them about it if you need that, because it's a wonderful thing. Groceries are high. We take the family down to Bilo once a week and look at the roast. And I'm telling you. Nelson Jackson, thank you for singing this morning. This is, yes, sir. And Mrs. Trexler, we thank you for singing this morning. And this is CD Sunday. Those of you who help with that ministry, please do. Now, I want you to know something real special. We're glad everybody's here. But most of you know Bill Moore. Bill sits at the back there in the sunshine generally. And he's had health problems. He's got some, what do you call them? Dialysis and what else? Blood clots that they can't cure. They can't do much for. And they told him to stay home. He said, no, I'm going to church. And he said, well, you might die. He said, fine, I'll die in church. And he can't walk anymore. We try to get him around in his wheelchair. But he's out in the parking lot right now in his van listening to this. He said, I can hear from here. And we said, well, we'll take you in if you want to go. He said, I'll just sit here and listen. And so with that kind of tenacity and that kind of will to come and be here, I pretty well does away with the excuses of I didn't feel like it, doesn't it? So as you pass by out there, he's sitting in the white van outside the other door. You'll see him. Just step over and give him a hug and give him a word of encouragement and pray for him, he said. Because when somebody like that's around, it just makes it all worthwhile. So we thank you for being here on the 4th. Some of you down for vacation, I'm sure. We get a lot of that this time of year. Hope you have a safe 4th. Watch the traffic. It's very perilous in Myrtle Beach. And we just hope you're all right. So we thank you for coming this morning. This is voluntary. And a lot of people volunteered to come, didn't they? Isn't that good? We just thank the Lord every day. Someone came in and asked, did we advertise out here? I know, we just show up. Other people show up with us, and finally 400 showed up. And we're so glad of that, because most of you come on a regular basis, and that's good. Some of you don't give on a regular basis. You need to correct that. And, hey, Patsy, if you won't tell Sam, I will. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. So we are glad to be here, and then we will pray and then speak to the Lord. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Christ Jesus, your Son. And that we can come before the throne of grace. What a wonderful thing that we can but bow our head and be in your presence. How wonderful. That you've guaranteed you would hear our prayers and supplications. Sometimes you don't answer them the way we ask. But that's all right. We just ask thy will be done. We have many here who are sick, Lord, very, very sick. Some have been called terminally ill. We'd ask that you be with them and that you touch them and that you would heal them. But in every case, thy will be done. Thank you for your servant, Bill Moore, who would come under difficult situation, a hard way to go to even get up and get here. We just thank you that somebody loves you that much. Someone who found you at this place. We thank you that we can be here. And as ever, please remove me from this place, that you be heard, that anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. All that should be remembered, please have it be, that you be above all be glorified and the church edified and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. So we find ourselves on 4th of July celebrating freedom, and I doubt that there's a better word in the English language that people like to hear than freedom. I can't imagine one that rings a bell in your heart any better than freedom. The dumbest man in jail understands freedom when you open that door and say you're free. I was thinking, getting my thoughts together last night in the middle of the night, how it must have been when the American soldiers, where's Ziggy this morning? There's Ziggy. Ziggy and them showed up at the Holocaust. I mean, you're talking about being without hope, to have been penned up like animals and beaten and killed and watched your mother and father drowned or burned or beaten to death. And to be in that situation, and then one day, here comes the American GIs and announces you're free. Can you imagine what went through the minds and the hearts of those people to hear the word freedom? And sometimes we take our freedom a little for granted here. We've had it so long. You know, we've never known non-freedom, have we? We've never known what it was like to not be allowed. I mean, you can get in your car, drive where you want to, eat what you want to, work where you want to, make a profession of whatever you want to. I mean, you can just do what you want to. What a wonderful place America is. And for those, and we go back with Ziggy in the Second World War boys, and those before them who kept us free. And freedom to me, the idea of being locked up or confined just shudders me. I don't like the door locked at night. I mean, it's just, I want to be free. My friends of mine have been in jail, and talking to one this week, and he said, the most gosh awful sound you ever hear is when they put you in jail and you hear that click when they put you in your cell, and you know it's locked, and there you are, and all of your freedom is gone. You can't walk to get a McDonald's or go see a ball game or do anything. It's all suddenly gone. And God willing, we'll never know the loss of our freedom here. And if you turn to John chapter 8, verse 31, where you read, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we find out true freedom is found in Christ Jesus. That there's no real freedom until you're free as he has set you free. And we find out that this freedom is conditional. You hear people quote part of this verse all the time. And they'll say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they don't read that first part, that this is continual. If ye continue in my word. And I promise you, in your spiritual life and generally in your normal life, the distance of you and your problems come from your distance from this book. That's why he stresses, continue in my word. And it doesn't matter if you're a theologian, and it doesn't matter if you can't put it all together. If you just pick up the Bible and read a little every day, and just read your Psalms. There'll be enough Psalms to take you through the month, and just read one a morning. And get a picture of who God really is and what he really did and how he cared for our freedom. For you see, he is freedom, and he didn't have to fool with us. Once we got into trouble and got ourselves in bondage to several things, it wasn't necessary that he did anything about it. He was free from the beginning. He was the beginning. And we find a God who's good enough and gracious enough to free us from several things, and we want to talk a little about them this morning. He said, if you know the truth, it'll make you free. And so many people all over the world think they have the truth, and they don't. And it's sad to see people who are zealous in their religion. I had a gentleman from the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door the other day. He left a flyer. Well, he He left a flyer, and I caught him running out, leaving. He wasn't running. He was a nice man, a good man, educated man, and evidently a wealthy man. He's in New Cadillac. At least had good credit. And I got his pamphlet. And I said, just a minute. And he said, oh, I'm glad you're home. I said, no, you won't be glad I'm home. You're not going to like this. And I said, but I'm a Bible-believing, fundamental, evangelical, blood-washed son of the living God. I don't think we have much to talk about. And he said, well, we don't have to hate each other, don't have to be mad at each other. I said, oh, I'm not mad, I'm sad. I said, you're obviously a zealous gentleman about your religion, and you think you're seeking God and doing the right thing. I mean, who else going to get out here on their own on a Saturday morning and knock door to door, which is bad enough. I mean, people are rude to you and all that, and it's hot. You wouldn't be doing that if you thought, unless you thought you were right, unless you thought you had something to say. And I appreciate your zealousness, but I can't wish you Godspeed, because the Bible you carry and tells you not to do that. You see, you're in a cult. You're lost. And I hope in your zeal in what you're doing, in your rounds that you're making, that somewhere you will find the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because if you don't, you're going to a hell that you don't believe in. And I hate that, because you seem like you're a nice guy. And he quit smiling and turned and went and got in his car. And I can't imagine being that zealous with something that isn't the truth. And yet I see two people running an airport yesterday, gasoline and other things to kill as many people as they can. And as he burned to death, he's crying out the name of his so-called God. How sad. How sad. No one inside the car. He didn't even get out. And I imagine he yelled too for a God who wasn't there and a God who couldn't set him free. And unless we know what's in this word and we continue in the word of God and use it as the foundation stone for our entire life, then we aren't free either. You'll fall in the prison of cults. You'll fall in the prison of false doctrine. You'll fall in the prison of sin, and you'll fall in the prison of fear. You'll fall in the prison of hate. And all that can be avoided by doing what this little verse said. If ye continue in my word, then you're disciples indeed. For the day may come where you have to stand and stand alone in your neighborhood or your group of people that you run with or whatever. And the day comes when the pressure is so much in this society we live in where it's pluralism, where they say any religion is as good as another. One road, all roads lead to God. No, they don't. No, they don't. And you can become unpopular because you don't go with the flow. We always use the mascots in high schools and colleges to, the Redskins or the porpoises, the Beavers won the baseball thing, by the way. I'm glad to see that. And I always said, well, the name ours the Salmon. And they thought I was crazy. And I said, no. Salmons fight upstream. Any dead fish can float downstream. Takes no effort at all. But a salmon goes upstream and fights the current and stands fast and goes back to his place of birth through grizzly bears, waterfalls. I stand amazed sitting there watching them on television jump up 5 feet against the current and wonder, that's what I would want to be. Ann said, you'd best be represented by a billy goat, but I picked the salmon. So we know if we know the truth, And we have a truth that can be tested. I can understand people before the Bible came questioning the word that came. They had never heard such a thing. Nothing had proven it to them. Everything they believed was on future speculation. But we can look back and see that it's true. One of the atheists that Jack wars with, Jack sends me some of his stuff to read, so interesting to read. And they always say the same thing. Well, God, it's never yet to be proven there is a God. And I meant to call you, I'll tell you now, write him back and saying it never has yet to be proven there isn't. And the preponderance of evidence says there is. All this came from somewhere. And God bless the physicists. Some of them are Christians. Some of them are atheistic. All of them are highly intelligent. But now they've come down to a point where even they are saying, we know it comes down to a point where it was just a little bit of matter. And we say in our ignorance, but enlightenment from the Word, then who made the matter? And the intellectual battle wars on. It's all matter, and matter developed mind. And we say, no, mind developed matter. And if you want to just believe in matter, then you believe you came from a rock. Bottom line, we know that's not so. We know God created man. It tells us how he was created. And he tells what he did for us. And he told the end from the beginning, as Isaiah said he would. And we can go back and see the prophecies fulfilled, that the probabilities of them happening or somebody just guessing those are ridiculous. There's no number to explain it. Yes, we can pretty well prove to you, if you got a brain in your head, that there is a creator God. I'm a very simple person. You don't have to clap or agree with that. And Trexler. And I was thinking, how can I prove to the physicist that mind is over matter? He said, well, it's very simple. It's in your hand. A hand is matter. Move on your own hand. Go ahead. We're waiting. Now I'm going to tell my mind to wiggle that finger. We'll see what happens. That wasn't too difficult, was it, for physics 101? Nothing happens till your mind does something to matter. Nothing. And if there is no God, it doesn't matter. But if there is one, and there is, then we should follow his word in order to be free. Well, what does it make you free from? Well, it makes you free from sin. Romans 6:22. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end to everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We find that sin entered the world and caused all the troubles that we see. And I don't know if Mr. and Miss Nichols are here this morning, but we buried their 32-year-old son this week, and how sad that was. Never got a chance to live, did he? 32. And we see the results of death everywhere, and we hear people say, well, why would God let that happen? That's not the question. The question is, why did man ever sin against God? Had it made in a perfect environment, in a perfect body, in a perfect situation, serving a perfect God for a perfect life that would last forever, and couldn't stand the success, and sin entered. And we've been paying the price ever since. But as Christ Jesus came and we found him, we have been made free from sin. People say, well, I'm a Christian and I still stumble from time to time. Congratulations. Try not to fall on me when you do. I stumbled before you did. But you see, when a Christian stumbles, he's picked up by his Heavenly Father. When a sinner continues in his sin, he has no father to pick him up. And when it says we are free from sin, it means we are free from the guilt and penalty of sin. That's what the Lord Jesus bore on Calvary's cross. He took all the guilt and all the penalty that you and I were supposed to have and took it and put it on his shoulders. As we say around Easter time, as bad as the crown of thorns were and the plucking of his beard from his face and the slapping of his face and the beating of the whip and the piercing of the sword into his side and the rigors of crucifixion and the things that happened to the body, all that is horrible. But it wasn't anything in comparison for a just, holy, and righteous Son of God to have to all of a sudden become sin for you and me. So we are free from the sin in the fact that we've accepted Christ, and he said, now you're in my family. And if you fall, you have an advocate with the Father. That's a lawyer. And his intercession, I read last night, is everlasting and forever. That he forever lives, the book of Hebrews says, and intercedes for us. That means he stands between you and the Father. And when you do something wrong, he stands and says, yes, he did something wrong, but I paid for it. It's forgiven. So I find myself and those of you who believe in him and trust in him and have faith in him that now I am justified. Big word. Asked a country preacher, preacher, what does justified mean? He didn't know. He said, I think it means justified never done it. He was right. He was right. For if I'm justified, it means I'm counted as righteous when I'm not. I'm counted as something that I can't possibly be. The cry from the cross of Christ when he was dying, and it said loudly, and how he did that loudly at the end of the crucifixion is beyond me. But it said he cried loudly, Telestai. And that's a victory cry. And the Jews looked at him and said, why would he have a victory cry on his dying breath? He just lost. No, he just won. He just won. The same victory cry was given in the Olympic Games and the games before those that were held in Rome. And the winner of the race or the winner of the boxing match or the winner of whatever they held, if there was like we have a 100-yard dash and the winner crosses the line and breaks the tape and he's declared the winner. In that day, if that man did not yell out the victory cry, it went to the second place man, although he didn't win. And I said, I can look at my sin and be sorrowful, but I can look at the cross and I too can yell, Telestai! I may have come in second, but I won. I may not be righteous, but I'm counted as so. Yes, I'm a sinner, but not in the eyes of God. What a God that would make me and make you free from the guilt and penalty of sin. How anybody can understand that and not love him, I don't know. He makes you free from the condemnation of sin. Romans 8:1 reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's my friend Bobby McGinnis, back there, his favorite favorite Bible verse. I think he's in North Carolina today. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. I can't be condemned for what I've done. Did I deserve to be condemned? Yes. Was it right to put me in condemnation? Absolutely. But through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and my belief in him, now I can't be condemned for what I really did. What a God. What a Savior. Tell me about yours. Tell me about your prophet. Tell me about your God, Hindu. You worshiping a rock, are you? A stream of water, a snake in the bushes. Tell me about his forgiveness. Tell me how he justified you. Tell me why you won't be condemned for your sin. And I hear no answer. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. At funerals I hold, and I hold more funerals than weddings these days. And inevitably somebody will say, well, we've all got to die someday. Naturally, I say not necessarily. What do you mean? Death's been eliminated for me. You're not going to die? You mean, am I going to physically shut my eyes and not breathe again? Maybe. The way things look, the Lord Jesus is going to come real soon. I'm not going to worry about that either. And the worst investment you can make, being my friend that owns the funeral home isn't here today, don't buy a hole in the ground to wait on you. It's not a good investment. Not a good investment. Ann's best friend, who was my wife, who passed away, went on to heaven. Tuck McAfee ran the funeral home in Greenville. Some of y'all are from Greenville, probably, and you know Tuck. On the top of Main Street there. I've held too many homegoings there and a couple of funerals. And he was going to be all funeral homie. You know how they get. And they practice all morning not smiling for that $10,000. You know, that's hard to do when you run a funeral home. And he comes in, he had his stoic best, head high, eyes lowered. Going to show me the caskets. So you go and enter in the casket room. Of course, they got that big black one in front of you there. It's $5,000. Then you get on down to other prices. And I said, how much is that one? $5,000. How much is that one? $3,000. How much is that one? $2,500. I said, Tuck, can you rent these things? He said, what? I said, can you rent these things? She ain't going to need this long. I said, you need to come hear me preach. You didn't come hear my daddy preach when he was in Greenwood? Where were you, boy? We're going to put you out of business. And I hope I've done my last business with you. And I love Tuck, and he's a good man. I just hope I see him in one of those caskets before he sees me. But you see, I've been made free from sin and free from death. You got any idea how that'll make you shout when you're by yourself at home rolling in the floor and can't get over it? See, I was hoping Dr. Randall would be here this morning to pray for us. He's a good black brother. He's a Pentecostal preacher up here in the Calabash. He runs a church of 35 people and raised $250,000 to feed children in Africa and took it to them. I'm going to start going up there on Sunday night. Maybe y'all would like to come. But now he don't play before you go. Be ready. Pack a lunch because he ain't going to let you out an hour. They may pray an hour before they start. They're serious about it. You see, they understand freedom a little bit better than me and you. And when I understand I'm free from the law of sin and the law of death, I understand, no, I don't have to die. No, it doesn't happen to everybody. No, I don't have to believe that. I'm going to believe that my Savior conquered death. He came and said he did. And I believe him. And then he proved it by dying for my sins, and then 3 days later got up. Don't you know the devil was happy for 3 days? Don't you know they just had a party in hell? Don't you know it was on? They said he's gone. We won this thing. A third of the angels Lucifer took with him. This is the most persuasive and powerful being, and here he is now saying, my arch enemy is dead. He's gone. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once like the Lord can, but surely a demon came to him and said, Lucifer, good news. So what is it? He's gone. He's dead. They killed him this afternoon. He's dead. Don't you know there was a party? Fat Herod's was full that night. And surely it lasted through the day and through the night and another. But Sunday's coming. Monday's coming. And I would hate to be the demon that had to go to report to Lucifer, excuse me. There's bad news. Be quiet. We're having a good time now. Don't bring any bad news in here. I think you'll want to hear this. Well, we're having such a time. Don't you understand? The arch enemy's dead. He's gone. It's over. He said, you're going to want to hear this. Well, go ahead. He's up. He's what? He arose. He did what? He conquered death. Now what are we going to do? Now what can we do? Assume the party's over. Yeah, party's over. Now what can we do? He's forgiven the sins. Can somebody let this lady with a baby have a seat back down there? Get her a chair, pug, from somewhere. He's up. He's up. And it put the devil in a dilemma. They'd had to change his war tactics. Now his war tactics are to be very subtle. Now he doesn't just come at you full force. He comes through the school. Comes through your education. He comes through your theologian who knows not Christ. He comes through people who have the nerve to hold this book in their hand in a pulpit and don't believe a word in it. Very subtle. The devil had a meeting one day, it said. He said, folks, there are too many Christians. There's too many people believing on the Lord, and you and I know who he is, but we're not going to tell people. But we got to do something about this. What are we going to do? Whoever has the best idea, I'll give half my kingdom. I mean, we got to solve this thing. They thought about it, and one demon raised his hand and said, I got it. Said, what? Said, let's tell them there is no God. We'll convince a certain number that there is no God. This stuff just happened. We'll even get some intellectuals to believe it. And he didn't know the intellectuals have intellectualized themselves to imbecility. He said, we'll get some of them to believe it, and they'll preach it from their pulpits, and they'll teach it in their universities. And it won't be long before we have a lot of people believing God doesn't exist. And the devil himself said, you got to be crazy. Nobody's that stupid. We saw him create. We saw him speak. that stars appeared. We know his power. We know who he is. Surely these humans aren't so stupid that they'd believe there's no God. Next. He said, well, let's tell them there is a God, but he's not alone. There are many gods. And we'll have them believing in snakes and pineapples and porpoises and statues and Reverend Moon, and we'll have them believe in everything except the real God. He said, that's a pretty good idea. That I can see where if they're all religious and all bow down to the east, west, or north, or south, or do whatever they do and look religious and light a candle and fly on a rug and do whatever. If they'll look religious, they'll feel religious, and if they feel religious, that will do. That's not a bad idea. But those crazy fundamentalists will jerk that Bible out and they'll put an end to that. That won't do. Down at the end, a little imp raised his hand and said, I think I've got it. He said, what? He said, let's tell them there's a God. Let's tell them that the Bible is true. And they're all looking like you out of your mind. Devil gonna smack you. He said, let's tell them that the miracles were true. Let's tell them about Calvary. Let's tell them about the crucifixion, and let's tell them about the resurrection. But then we're going to tell them, all this is true, but you don't have to believe it right now. It's okay to wait and do it later. And the devil said, amen. What a plan. What a plan. I don't want to give up the sin right now. I want to be in my situation just a little bit longer. I don't want anybody to think I've turned into some kind of holy nut because I started to go to church in a bar. I don't want to be labeled one of those fundamentalists or anything. I don't want them calling me religious names, you know. I don't need that. I'm going to believe. I'm just going to put it off a little while. Yeah, you do that. And a little while turns into a long while. And like somebody said to me, I'm going to come to church when I get all straightened out. And I said, yeah, I'm going to look for you when you all straightened out. Because that's when you coming. See. But thank God. John 5:24 tells you, I not only am not going to be condemned, but I have already passed from death unto life. Not going to, not one day, gee, I'm going to inherit eternal life and there's going to be a big program and they're going to call my name like the kids across the stage for their diploma. No. I've already passed from death unto life. Has no claim on me. But sin has to be paid for. Sin was paid for. Not has to be. It was. No claim of condemnation. You're not going to condemn me when I've been set free. You're not going to kill me when I've already passed from death unto eternal life. Not something I'm going to have. It's something I have now. Isn't it sad that the lost man has eternal life too? It's just the destination is different. He's got it. Old Dr. Bob Jones, old Dr. Bob. On Alabama Red Clay Road one night walking to prayer meeting. about 14 years of age, kicked up the dust, and he said, I had one of the greatest thoughts I ever had in my life. He said, it came to me that I was going to live as long as God lives somewhere. The question isn't, are you going to live forever? Question is, where? And now they want to play like you dead, like a dog. I wonder why the funeral homes aren't out of business and they don't just put you in a baggie by the curb, because very few people cry anymore at a funeral. I've noticed it over the last few years. They'll get in a little corner in little groups and even be telling jokes and laughing. Man's laying over in the box. Nobody go near. To them, it's just over. Well, his chapter closed, his book closed, it's over. No, it didn't. He just passed through the door of death to somewhere. And somewhere he will live forever as long as God lives. And those of us who love him, he says, that will be in my presence. I'm telling you the truth. What else are we free from? We're free from several things over in Acts 26:18. This is when Paul is giving his marching orders. He's talked to the living Lord. He's asked, who was this bright light that has blinded me on the road? And Jesus answered, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. For those of you who wonder where Paul learned his theology, he didn't go to the University of Tarsus for theology. Gamaliel didn't teach him his Christian theology. Jesus appeared unto him and taught Paul his theology. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, amen, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we're freed from blindness, aren't we? You see, we're born spiritually blind. Actually, you're spiritually dead. That's what Nicodemus found out. And when you accept Christ, your eyes, spiritual eyes, are opened and you are quickened. You are made alive spiritually in your physical body. And then you can see. We have blind men running among us and blind preachers and blind theologians and blind teachers of all kinds with high-sounding words and philosophies, but they're blind. I laughed. I went to see my good friend Paul Embler up in Lenore. He'll get a copy of this and laugh. And I couldn't find his house in the mountains up there. And I got in the general area and saw a little store, an old store about closed down. And I remembered it was in the area. So I went in to ask directions. And the man behind the counter was blind. And I said, sir, can you tell me where Brother Paul Embler lives? And he said, yes, see that mailbox on the corner? I mean, he's stone blind. He said, see that mailbox on the corner? I said, yeah. He said, go up that road. It'll fork. You take the right. And his will be the first driveway on the right. Be a big mailbox right by the driveway. You take a right and go up to Paul's house. And I thanked him and went on. And I said, well, I've hit the bottom. I'm taking instructions from a blind man on that. That'll get someone. But you see, he could see and I was blind. I didn't know the way he did. And that's something. And those of us who know Christ, we were blind, but now we can see. So we're freed from the darkness, aren't we? And brought into the light. and we're freed from the power of Satan. Don't think he doesn't have power. Everything you see advertised is advertised with a sexual connotation, is it not? All the amusements that you're encouraged to visit are the same thing. And his power has gotten into every area of our homes and every area of our society until we are a godless nation. And that's sad. But when you're saved, you're freed from all that. And it says at the bottom, I'm sanctified, which means I'm set apart by his freedom for his use. So I'm justified, I'm made righteous when I'm not. I'm sanctified, I'm set apart for his use. And one day I'll be glorified because I'll stand in his presence and see him as he is. And he shall see me as his son is. Near, so very near to God. I can no nearer be. For in the person of his son, I'm just as near as he. And dear, so very dear to God, I can no dearer be. For in the person of his son, I'm just as dear as he. You want freedom? I'll give you freedom. Where you sit, if you don't have a Savior, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm lost and dying. If I died that day, I'd break hell wide open. We both know it. And I don't want that. I want to be free. I want to be free indeed. And today I want to repent of my sin and accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. And I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, he'll do his part. So if you haven't done that today at this 4th of July, become free. Become free indeed. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your freedom. The freedom that we have in you gave mankind the freedom of choice. You didn't make us believe. You didn't select us to believe. You gave us the opportunity to believe. And a God of love doesn't force his love on anybody. He simply makes it available and says, whosoever will may come. And Lord, if there be one here today listening by means of radio or the CDs that go out or those in prison who don't have a Savior and don't know what freedom is, pull on their hearts a little bit this morning, if you would, and let them understand once and for all that Jesus saves, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Be with us this day. Keep us safe during this holiday season, and let us enjoy the freedom America offers, and even more so the freedom you do. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen.